your source for everything paranormal.
Para-X.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Merry meets and merry parts, bright the cheeks and warm the heart. For tread the circle thrice about to keep unwelcome spirits out. Bide within the law you must, in perfect love and perfect trust. Mind the threefold laws you should, three times bad and three times good. These eight words the reed fulfill, and ye harm none, do what ye will.
Welcome to Stirring the Cauldron on the Para-X Radio Network. And now, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
And merry meet everybody and welcome. Now tonight we're going to be talking about psychometry with my favorite East Coast Van Helsing, Ron Kolick. Now Ron is the host of several Ghost Chronicle radio shows and founder of the New England Ghost Project. But there's more to him than meets the eye or the ears, because he's an active seeker of truth in all aspects of paranormal, and psychometry happens to be one of them. So those of you already in the chat room know that you're welcome to ask questions with Ron. But if you're not in the chat room, it's Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, and you're listening elsewhere, come over to paraxradionetwork.com. All right, Ron. So last night on Ghost...
What's merry meet?
It's hello.
Oh.
That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Happy meet.
Merry meet, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you
There's
say,
happy
blessed be or... when you leave.
What? Okay, fine. Whatever. Sounds like meat, M-E-A-T.
Well, it depends. If you're hungry, you could take it that way.
It's a Californian accent. I think she should, you know.
It's just a little. It's a little Wiccan things, you know. It's
sure,
it's,
sure.
Yes,
well, it's very, so motor be.
Yeah, and see, you said that yesterday, and it was pretty funny that I didn't know you knew that.
I know. Well,
although you said so motor be, I think that's what it is, kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So. Last night, yeah, on Ghost Chronicles, the Book of Shadows, we were talking about divination.
Which you do with me once a month on TojiNet, and we're all good podcast played. So, yeah.
Yes.
It's Marla Brooks is my co-host. I am lucky to be with her.
Oh, thank you. I'm one of four. He's got, you know how like, what's his name? Oh, my God, I forgot. Anyway.
Yeah.
Every time I get talking to you, you make me out of lose things mm-hmm. out of my mind too. But I do it once a month, and he's got three other co-hosts, for the other weeks. And it's kind of fun because it's mixing it up in a whole bunch of different people. And so last night, we were talking about divination and, Ron, you know, I know you're familiar with many kinds of divination, not only by what you read, but you do it hands-on as well. Now, I can't scry to save my soul. Is there any form?
Sure you can.
Well, maybe I'm not patient enough, but is there one form of divination that you've tried unsuccessfully?
Unsuccessfully.
Mm-hmm.
If I tried it, it's not unsuccessful. It means it's successful.
Unless nothing happens.
Because nothing happens doesn't mean it's unsuccessful. You've learned the experience of it, and next time you do it, and maybe something will happen. But, you know, it's like you when you're scrying, just because you don't transfigure in the mirror or whatever it is, and You know, it doesn't mean it's not successful, but at least you've tried it. But like everything else, it takes practice. You know,
I gave up too early, right, I think. Yeah, because Tim Shaw made me a little scrying mirror, a black little scrying mirror. And, you know, I kept looking
at me more and more.
I know. We know each other so long, it's rubbing off. But, it does take. Scrying is kind of difficult. But when did you start getting your interest in psychometry?
It's one of those things. I mean, you know, and I've talked about it a dozen times. I didn't believe a heck of a lot about the paranormal, but, you know, if you're going to criticize them, you got to at least understand it. So, you know, I've done all the modalities in one way or another, from Reiki to scrying to, you know, whatever, dowsing or any of the things, you know, table tip and mediumship. So it's how you learn things is by doing, I think, anyways. And to me, I'm in life as an observer. And that's what I do, is study and observe. So when did I first get into this? How the hell do I know? I don't know. I'm old as dirt. I can't remember. But it's one of the most intriguing things.
So, I mean, so you do it now. I mean, if I was going to send you something, you could try and do it and figure out what it was.
Anybody could do it.
That's another one I was going to say. I mean, because somebody didn't teach you necessarily do it, did they? Or you just kind of winged it, that you kind of knew what to do?
Winged? I don't know if I winged it, but, you know, I learned about it. I studied it a little bit. And, you know, but the best thing, once again, is hands-on. And I have a workshop at Circles of Wisdom on May 16th, I think it is, some Thursday this month, whatever it is. And it's on psychometry. And it's, to me, it's one of the most fascinating things, because unlike scrying and you, anybody can do it. But the problem is we always put, you know, we want to be proved right or wrong. And a lot of times you can't really in these types of modalities and stuff. It's not necessarily the right or wrong. It's, well, first of all, you got to know what psychometry. Psychometry is reading the energy of an object. It's believed that you know, objects retain energy, especially ones that, you know, you might have worn a lot or whatever. You know, and once again, when I was first involved in the paranormal, I thought that was a kind of ridiculous idea of that. And then, of course, as I mentioned a trillion times, that you know, a devout Catholic, so I started thinking about the relics, and that's exactly what the relics are, is they retain energy of the saint or whoever touched them and so forth. So that's what made me comfortable with it. And secondly, it's the idea that this energy is here, and you might be able to, for instance, if I gave you my mother's watch, and you picked it up and you said, I'm picking up on a man who's a certain age or whatever. He's a boxer or something like that. And so, and then somebody else said, picked it up and hit it right on. So I think it's your mother. I think she was this and this. So is that person who picked up that watch wrong? And the answer to that is no, because we interpret that energy through ourselves. So that is the interpretations they are picking up from that particular watch. Now, that person that she actually described happened to be my father. So, you know, she picked up energy, but it wasn't like the most obvious that it was my mother or whatever else. So each one of us, that's why I love psychometry, each one of us comes up with stuff. And even though you might not be able to associate it right away with that particular object, it's their own particular thing. And plus it paints a story, a picture of the energy in the object. So it's, they're reading different things. And of course, when you do psychometry, you hear the items, so you pass it from different people. So it may be even the energy of a person that has touched it. So, you know, someone who has taken the class before or whatever. So, It's not like he can cleanse them or anything, because that would not be good. It kind of defeats the whole purpose. But so that's what I mean. There's no right or wrong. It's you know, interpreting of what the energy you're picking up. And it's what you got. It's like a medium. A medium tells you what she believes, even though there may not be evidence. She believes that whatever she tells you is right. Does mm-hmm. that make sense at all?
Yeah, it does. And, you know, I mean, right or wrong, I was with Scott Michaels one time, and we had...
Your friend who owns all those cool...
Yeah, uh-huh. And so we knew this person that the guy said that he could do psychometry really well. And Scott was more cynical back then. And he said, well, you know, let's invite him over and see. Because, you know, all this stuff that Scott has to have energy. I mean, you know, Manson bricks and God knows what else. So he invited him over, and he invited me over first. He says, come on, we'll eat dinner, and then we'll call him to go over. And he got I think it was the hotel where Robert Kennedy died, in the kitchen, the Ambassador Hotel. Mm-hmm. And Scott somehow got a hold of the tiles that right where Kennedy was on. And so he gave that to the guy and said, okay, well, what's this? And the guy kind of held it for a minute, and he said, I don't like this feeling. He said, something bad happened right here. And of course he didn't say, you know, well, this is, you know, Robert Kennedy died on these things, but you know, he picked up that it was kind of something tragic. So I guess, you know, that's being right about it.
Oh, is it really? Or is it, I mean, we hear that a lot of times from mediums, that they pick up on things, but it's so generalized that, in fact, we talked about this in the International Show with Steve Parsons, is a lot of times the readings of psychics and mediums are so generalized that we make the circumstances fit whatever they tell you. So it's a two both ways. It's you know, you made it that, okay, that's what he picked up on was Robert Kennedy's death, but it could have been anything, really. And, you know, a chef could have cut himself on that spot, and his blood could have dropped down the aisle before Kennedy's. We always take the most obvious or the most thing. I mean, if you're doing a paranormal investigation and someone died in the house, I call it the famous ghost syndrome, or George Washington there or something, you automatically think that spirit was the person that died in the house, or it was George Washington or whatever, because that's the most obvious. And so we want our conclusions to fit the evidence that we know.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, that's the hard part about it, though.
I mean, I haven't seen a lot of psychometry happen, but I've never seen somebody say, this is your grandmother Lena or something, you know, this belonged to her. I don't think they can get that. Well, maybe they can.
They can. Absolutely can. Because even if you're not a really good medium and you do like a cold reading, you can get that same type of information just by generalizations. So you can do that. But once again, it's very difficult to say that, you know, what you're getting is we make, like I said, we make everything to fit. So it's just like, is it proof that it happens? It's like a medium talks to a dead person. Now, she believes she's talking to the dead person, but we have no physical evidence whatsoever that's the person she's talking to. All about this person, but we don't know where that information really, really comes from. Could she be tied into a greater consciousness? She could be tied reading the thoughts of the reader. She could be, I mean, there's a million ways where energy. So that's the problem with the paranormal and these type of modalities. They're very difficult to quantifiably prove.
Well, suppose somebody gave you, you know, somebody's watch, and mm-hmm. the person that's holding that watch came up with the right name. You know, this belonged to Jack, for example.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's pretty good.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah.
But can I say, you know, that, I mean, I assume that she's getting it from the object, but, you know, was she getting it from my mind? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we touched on that subject last night about where the information comes in any form of divination.
Oh, yeah.
And so let's ask the people in the chat room, where do you think information comes from, whether it be Ouija board or pendulum or tea leaves or scrying or card reading or
mediumship, whatever.
Yeah. So there's going to be like a 30-second delay, but the chat room has a lot to say and usually does, so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, that's good. We all have our own opinions, and like I said, the subject is such a hard subject to prove on any, you know, plane. It's interesting to see other people's opinions, which is mm-hmm. why I do all these radio shows, because I want to, I mean, I have guests in my shows that I think are, you know, totally wacko, but
I've had a few of those too,
but you still, you know, you want to hear what they think and the other side of the coin sometimes, so it's offering the public or your listeners the, you know, alternatives and that are out there, so that's good journalism.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got one answer so far. No. It says energy going into the object from outside sources.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody else have thoughts about that? Because I was, I don't know. There's, I don't think there's an answer to that question. You know, I mean, it's what we think.
Exactly. It's just what we think. And, like, I go back to, you know, I mean, there's some amazing stuff. I have a piece of, from Auschwitz. Uh-huh. It's actually a piece of the crematorium building. Uh-huh. And then I have another piece that I have that's just a piece of concrete from somebody's driveway. Mm-hmm. And that, so, you know, we do that. I used those in psychometry before. I remember one class that I had, and this girl came in, and she actually wanted to go in another class, but she got the days mixed up, so she decided to stay anyways. And she picked up the piece from Auschwitz, and she started coming up with a really, really good reading. She said, oh, this is from Europe. I see a military, she started going into all the more, what do you call it? The more details of what Auschwitz was, who was there and all that type of thing, which mm-hmm. was simply amazing. But I have no idea where that information came from, but that she picked up on it. So, which is pretty good.
I did that with Victoria Gross one time. She came over, and I had a sword that my stepdad brought back from World War II, and it was the Nazi sword or whatever. And so I said, oh, look at this, you know. And I didn't really ask her to do anything about it, but I said, look what, you know, I'm keeping it, and it's kind of really neat, and it's got, you know, the government said that's what it was, you know, because they had to bring it back and whatever. And so she said, oh, let me see. She picked it up, and all of a sudden she dropped it. And she said, that is bad. That killed a lot of people. And, you know, it could have been that, you know, she knows
it. Which is weird, because, you know, swords were worn mostly for a ceremonial rather than actual combat.
Yeah, well, they picked it off of some dead person in battle and ran with it.
Right.
But I mean, it was with her. She thought it felt like a hot potato, and she just dropped it.
Yeah, a lot of people do that. Yeah. They have are reading some type of energy, mm-hmm. Something that they do doesn't mesh with them. I mean, I had a hematite necklace with a hematite cross on it that somebody had given me, and I used to wear on a vest. Broke on it. I brought it into circles one time, and the girl up there, she picked it up, and she says, "Oh, she says I don't want anything to do with this." So she thought,
from
my investigations and yada yada. So, whatever. But so you know, we do have are uncomfortable with certain energy, whether it's in a place, a person, right? Aren't there persons that we just don't like? We don't even know them, but we look at them like, "Oh, I don't." Like them. And there are other persons just the opposite. We just, you know, they're up. Never even spoke to them.
I always thought that hematite was a nice, it's a healing stone because they say if you scratch.
Heart healing.
Huh?
Yeah. Heart healing. Healing for the heart. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, they said if you scratch a hematite, it unscratches itself. Mm. Maybe not, but, you know, I guess when you said that. That was a negative stone.
That's what she said, not me.
No, I know.
But she was uncomfortable with that. But she also knew what I did, too. So, speaking about that, did you see in the news today, there was the first time they ever saw this, there was a baboon out in the wild that actually applied medicine to its own wound?
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Yeah, he picked a plant and chewed it, and then he took it and put it on his wound. I don't know if it was for pain or for healing, and it healed. By the way, it healed. A few days.
Good monkey.
It shows you how intelligent the creatures are.
Yeah. It's inherent with them. They seem to know. You know, we have to learn, but sometimes they just know.
What did we learn? I mean, you think about everything in our daily lives. Somebody had to learn that stuff or come up with the idea, which is simply amazing. You know, simple thing like tying your shoes. It's like, who thought about tying shoes? I do want to know who thought about making women's buttons the opposite of men's buttons. I have no, that makes no sense at all, but it is what it is.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah. And some things go that are, talking about that the whole world knows how to do that, you know, tying the shoe for, well, probably not everybody knows how they do it.
Well, not today. But, too much Velcro.
Yeah, too much. It's too easy. Wait a minute. We got another. Cece said, when we were talking about where it comes from, she said, information is always written. It's just picked up by an object.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's really interesting. In a lot of ways. Do you do it every so often just to kind of keep knowing that you're doing it?
As you know, we've been studying the red light seance for, I think it's 14 years now. We do it once a month. We have a group that gets together and we do the red light seance studying physical mediumship. And every so often somebody will bring an object in that they've come across and we'll do a psychometry on it. Even, you know, we might even use it as a trigger object on the table as well. So,
trigger objects. I was at a seance one time in Hollywood, and the guy said that he wanted to contact, you know, dead spirit actors and whatever. And he had a collection of things from different actors and put it on the table. And I think that guy was a little sketchy in general, but, but he was going to bring in Mae West and he was going to bring in a whole bunch of other people. And it was kind of weird, but in seance, I mean, they do it all the time when you're bringing in a trigger object. And you might want to explain that in case somebody doesn't know what we're talking about.
A trigger object is just an object that might spark a spirit's interest. It might, for instance, if a house was supposed to be haunted by a little kid, you might bring in some toys and place them about to see if they get moved or played with or so forth. if, you know, I mean, we did a investigation at a place, the Haunted Victorian, and one of the stories it was about was a Portuguese man who was a kind of a drunkard. He used to bootlegged liquor and so forth at the time. And in fact, he was supposedly died in the house of spontaneous human combustion. We did the research on that. He did die in a house in a fire, but there was no... Anyways, so we came in and we were doing our investigation, and we went up to the main bedroom, and we had a shot glass of Jack Daniels that I placed on a glow-in-the dark to see it, and because we were in the dark, and we started talking and doing EVPs, and I was talking to Enos, and I said that, you know, this is you know, good whiskey. It's not like the crap you drank. He says, can't you smell it, Jim, who was next to me? And I said, he says, yeah, I can smell it. I says, don't you wish you had it? And then the next thing we heard was, yeah. And it was an actual voice that we heard. Now, everybody that it was in the house was in us in that room. And, you know, we thought it came from the hallway and everything, but that's where it sounded like. And if you go back in the recorder, you can hear it very clearly that that's what it was. Yeah. But so that's what a trigger object that's, you know, is something that you get the spirit to interact with you.
Mm-hmm. And I was on a computer when somebody was doing stuff at the Shanley Hotel one time, and
is that a good place?
Yeah, it was. I don't know about now, but okay. They had everybody dress up in the 1920s garb. They played the music of the 1920s.
Yep.
And, you know, it worked. I mean, they had a really good investigation that day. Because it was just, you know, you're bringing them in, you know.
Yeah, so. I mean, this... We tried different experiments at the Red Lake as well as, you know, even music. We always play music because the spiritualists used to play very loud music, very upbeat music, everything from hymns to all different types of things. So, in fact, I have recordings from the 1930s, I believe it is, from the UK, where it was spiritualists. So we've used those before. We used different ones and had different results with it. Some of them, you know, we get better results. Some of them, we kind of shift it around. But that's what we do. We experiment with different things like that.
Yeah, and it just seems to work. And it was kind of
sometimes.
Fun. Watch, it was kind of funny to have everybody all dressed up because they really went out.
Fun.
Yeah, and I was there because... I had to open the circle or something, and I turned into one too. I had a flopper outfit on, if, you know, you could see me.
Girl.
That was my Trixie. but yeah, it was. They said that it was a really good night because, you know, they go there a lot. To, you know, it's supposed to be very, very haunted, but it just made everything kind of much more interesting.
Would you do it remotely?
Yeah. Well, I did. Okay. They didn't.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah. I thought
you came on my coast and didn't give me a call. I was a bit upset.
No. It was, no. I couldn't get it there, but, you know, I still watched there, and it was It was interesting to watch and, you know, open the circle, you know, protective circle for everybody. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that was very, very cool. All right, I think we've got some other comments in the chat room, but...
Just one quick one is talk about remotely. In the Red Light Seance, we actually had Stephen Scott, who's a Scottish spiritualist. He's a member of the Spiritualist Church in Scotland, and he sat in remote.
Oh, did he?
All right, carry on. Yep.
Well, and also Stephen Scott was my first master class last week.
Did he really?
Yes, he did.
What did he do it on?
He did two different guided visualizations and just kind of, you know, mediumship sort of thing. And so, yeah, like he stayed
you
up
could
till,
understand him.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I don't, but he did okay this time. The brogue is wonderful. But yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, I love Stephen. He was over here a few years back and working with me and Stephen Parsons. And so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he's one of the good guys.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. All right.
You were going to look at your chat.
No, I was going to look at my chat. We were going to take a break.
Oh, we could do that, too.
Yeah. So we're going to do that, and everybody will be back in, you know, a couple of minutes. There you go.
Cauldron will be right back, so don't go away.
If you end up with webbed feet,
remember, you've been warned.
As you go about your daily life, look closer. Every year across America, a staggering 4.2 million youth are homeless or trafficked. Covenant House is the national leader providing safe housing for youth 50 years strong. Every youth who walks into Covenant House gets clean clothes, hot meals, medical care, and a safe place to sleep. So look closer at Covenant House and help us fight youth homelessness. To help or get help, go to covenanthouse.org.
Are you haunted by shadow people in the middle of the night?
Do you secretly love all things creepy and spooky, enjoying ghost stories and horror fiction from the best storytellers?
Do you have a true ghost experience you want to share, but no one will believe you?
If yes, listen to the professionals on What Are You Afraid of? Horror Paranormal Show, Friday nights at 9 p.m. on Para X Radio and at www.whatareyouafraidofpodcast.com.
What are you afraid of on Para X?
Our creepy and demented hosts are on call to provide you with all your spooky needs with true ghost stories, interviews, indie music, and new horror fiction. We are ready to scare you.
Para X.
Missed an episode of Stirring the Cauldron? Then be sure to check out MarlaBrooks.com and check out the archive. And while you're there, check out Marla's weekly Witch's Oracle card reading. Explore the site to find many great resources, such as information on tarot, oracle readings, metaphysical consultations, and links to all of Marla's books. That's MarlaBrooks.com. Welcome back to Stirring the Cauldron. Once again, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
Here I am. God. Okay. I'll not.
You are getting like me. You know that, don't you?
Well, yeah. I just, you know, I got up and didn't want to make noise, so I put it on hold for a minute, and there we are. But we are here with Ron Kolick, and he's my guest tonight. We're talking about psychometry and a bit of divination and lots of other things, probably.
Tardiness.
Mm-hmm. That too. Yeah. all right. So,
see. Hey, I have web feet.
You do?
Yeah.
It wasn't me.
I think it was.
No. I wouldn't do
it. I actually have two toes that are webbed, so.
Well, okay. See? And that's long before I knew you. There.
I don't know.
Well, maybe in another lifetime.
Another lifetime. Yeah.
Uh-huh. They say you carry your people from one to the next life.
When I was a flying monkey.
You know what? That's almost perfect. I can just see it. Seriously.
Okay. I appreciate that.
No, it's a compliment. I like flying monkeys.
I'm sure it was.
No, it was.
Carry on.
All right. So Cece left a note back in here, and she said, it's like charging an object, its intent, but can be emotion. I picked up a set of keys and was asked why – or asked what happened, and she said, I saw a car by the side of the road. Turns out I was handed house keys. Someone was looking after their sister and was in a car accident.
Hmm. That charging bit, that's kind of cool. Yeah, energy charges an object. I like that. Because, if you believe in some of the theories in ghost hunting, you know, like especially residual, is that, the energy becomes trapped in the stone tape that really goes to stone of a building. But different ones is there's water as well. So anyway, pretty interesting.
Yeah, you can pick it up. And Sherry said, what an item has a soul? You would be contacting the item's soul?
No.
Okay.
I guess you would have to define what a soul was, but you're not contacting the item is an inanimate object. It's a rock is a rock, but energy, it's like a record is a record, but if you play it, you hear music in it. That doesn't have a soul, but that music is trapped in that record in the grooves. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. But certain things have energy, not necessarily soul, because, like, you know, when you talk about stones, precious stones and stuff, hematite is for, it heals. Quartz crystal is, you know, it gives and takes kind of thing. I mean, each stone. So it's not that they are alive. They don't have souls, but they do have certain types of energy.
They have properties. Properties.
What?
Properties.
Oh, yeah. That's it. They do.
Properties.
See, you're asking me if I understand Stephen Scott with his Vogue, and you're speaking my language, and sometimes I don't understand you. But
it's Ronisms. Everybody knows that.
Well, yeah, it's the East Coast stuff, too. Yeah.
It's Ron stuff. Trust me, nobody else talks like me.
Well, you're very lucky. You're the one of a kind.
Oh, the world is lucky.
Well, you know, I think that, you know, it's fun. fun to talking to you anyway, and if I can figure it out, it's good, and not so much the other way. Okay, there's a bunch of people in here, and let's just talk about divinations for a second. What do you guys do? Answer the question. What kind of divinations do you practice, if any? Because it's always, you know, some people, like we were talking yesterday, some people do pendulum real easily, and some people only
they
use
their
one.
Favorite, right?
Yeah. Well, it's, yeah. You know, pendulum is to me the easiest. You know, I mean, you're not going to get a full answer if you need a sentence. It's not good. Mine
does.
Do
you get that on table tipping? No, not really. Well, eventually, I guess you could spell it out, but you could do the same thing on pendulum as well. But it would take you just as long.
Yeah, but pendulum is, you know, yes, no, or maybe. Okay.
Yeah, but you could say.
But if you're doing something else, like the Ouija board or something.
Look at the Ouija board. It takes so forever to spell everything out, one letter at a time.
But it can. It's just not like yes and no.
They all can. A pendulum can too with the yes and no.
It does yes and no. But if you want it more than an answer, yes or no, then the Ouija board would be to go because it would spell out more than what.
No.
What?
Well, you can ask questions and you get a yes and no. So if you want more, and you could actually have it spell out your name. If there is there a spirit here tonight? Yes. Are you a male? Yes. Does your first name begin with a vowel? Yes. Is it a whatever? So you could go. You could eventually do it. It'd take a long time, but so does the Ouija board. The Ouija board goes letter to letter to letter to letter.
Sorry, I'm trying to mute the gardener because he's. I don't know. Can you hear it?
I think that's spooky. Leave it on there.
It's really loud.
Yeah, it is.
So I want you to talk for a couple of minutes until he moves away.
What, you want me to babble by myself?
Yeah, just babble for about a minute or two because this is so loud I can barely hear you.
Oh, fine.
Talk about the circles of wisdom because you do stuff there all the time, and it's a good place to go. Talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, but it's on the East Coast. Not people come out here. It's a mystical one. It's a great place. It's a metaphysical store. They have all kinds of classes on mediumship and everything else. Go to circlesofwisdom.com and check them out. I am doing the thing. But there are many types, as Marla was saying, of divination. And we all tend to have our own favorite. We ask anybody in the chat room what's their favorite form of divination. And we all have forms of divination, even if we don't know it. I mean, if we flip a coin, that's divination in a way. Yes, it's only a yes and a no answer, but that's once, of course, it lands on its side, then that could be a maybe, but whatever. Anyway.
There was something that you mentioned.
There are many forms.
There was some divination thing that you mentioned yesterday, and I just flew it out of my mind, but it was something I didn't think of it being as divination, but I don't remember. Yeah, see.
Oh, that's good. That's a big help now.
It stuck to me yesterday, and I thought, wow, that? Okay.
You mean Charlie?
Could be.
No. Charlie's with the pencils.
Yeah, maybe that was that, but no. I don't know. All right, never mind. I started just something that I can't finish.
Never mind about that. Never mind about that.
No, that's how it works. When I asked everybody what kind of divination they do, we got one answer, and that was pendulum.
It's very popular.
Well, yeah, it's pretty easy, and, you know, you can make your own pendulums out of just about anything. You don't have to buy one because, you know, in the olden days when my friend Ginny said, because she was born and raised in Mexico, she said whenever a woman got pregnant, they would take a little coin and a string and put it over the stomach and see if it was a boy or a girl.
They do that in some cultures with a needle to a sewing needle or a wedding ring as well. So they'll put a wedding ring over. Yeah, same way. We like I said, there are many forms of things that we don't even think about in divination, but they really are. Pendulum is funny.
And you kind of think, you know, when you talk about Ouija board, I mean, it is, but it isn't. So you were talking about dowsing rods the other day, or maybe she was, and, you know, about getting it
she
to
move.
She
has a name, you know. Her name is Leslie.
Leslie Marden, yes. Sorry. nobody listened to it yesterday, so I should have known. But I've seen the thing where, you know, people have been on an investigation, and they're holding the rods. And, you know, because you were saying that, like, some people can move the pendulum or move the planchette or whatever. Mm-hmm. But she was holding them, you know, far apart. And it wasn't that they crossed. You know, normally they'll cross and go straight. Mm-hmm. But both of them, and I was right there with her, they started going really fast, like propellers.
Yep.
And that would mean that you would have to really kind of, you couldn't, I don't think your energy could do that. Maybe it could, but it was just, they were going crazy.
So you've never held a pendulum in your hand and have it just about spin out of your fingers?
The pendulum, The
What's the difference?
Well,
so
it's
if you
true.
Hold the dowsing rod, you can spin around. And the dowsing rods, if you don't have those perfectly on a level plane, then it's definitely going to be influenced by whatever plane you put it in. So if it's tilted just a little bit one way, it's going to go one way, and it has to be just because they're made so well. Sleeves on them. They're made so well, easy to spin, that they'll do that even with a slight divination. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that we like to jump at. But like I said, it's difficult. It's very hard to prove any of this stuff.
Well, we can't prove that there's any life after death, and we can't prove about ghosts, but you know, where there's smoke, there's fire, I think. In some ways.
Yeah.
But we keep doing. Go ahead.
I mean, I asked on Facebook, why a ghost seer? Or why is a ghost seer? Then we just got the general answers. People just have these general answers. Well, unfinished business. What unfinished business? You forgot to take out the trash on Thursday? I don't know. It's, you know, what would compel him to stay here if he could move on to someone else? And, you know, was it moving out the trash? I don't know. Maybe it was. He's very dedicated if he was. I want to know specifics. Why the psychology of spirit? Why they do what they do? Why are they here? Why do they, you know, we go to these paranormal playgrounds like Eastern State Penitentiary and all those other ones. And you think about it, how many people go through there and ask the spirits the same damn questions? And if I was a spirit, I'd be going out of my gourd. It's like, you know, I'm not going to answer that question. I just answer. And during an investigation, you get people to do that. The spirit will say, they'll ask a question and through whatever method they're doing, and the spirit will say, yes, and then they'll ask, did you mean yes? They'll ask the stupid question like three times. It's like, you know, I'd be ready to scream at them if I was a ghost.
Well, David Wells told me one time they were doing that thing on Halloween, and they were up at the Winchester House. They were out in California.
Yeah.
And he said they got nothing, and it was really obvious. It was. I bet the producer was going crazy. But he told me after the fact, he said, if I could have gone in before and checked the place out, which they couldn't, he said, I would know that those spirits are so sick and tired of people talking and saying the same thing, they just don't even care that there's anybody in there, and they won't respond. So it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah. I remember when I was a trans medium, and one of my co-hosts from the original Ghost Chronicles, and she's also one of the co-hosts I have now, we did this four-part series with NDS News. It was four Thursdays in a row leading up to Halloween, which was the last Thursday. And we went to different places, and, you know, we did a little thing or whatever. The last place was at the cemetery, and it was, like, dead. No pun intended. There was nothing going on there. So, I mean, she ended up – I conned her into doing tarot cards on top of a crypt. So, that's how bad it was. But, the funniest thing that came out of that was the cemetery is very, very, very old, you know, and the graves have been not taken care of. There are holes, like, right down the coffins and stuff, and the animals and stuff get in. Anyways, so two things that occurred that were kind of funny. Maureen was with me, and she took out the dowsing rods, or a pendulum, I forget which it was, and she said, show me the hole in the ground. She took a step. She fell in a hole up to it. And so you got to be careful what you're asking. But anyways, so we finally found this grave, and I went in and I took some pictures of it and stuff like that. And then I reached in and touched one of the skulls. And then I smelled them. And, of course, it was on the news.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. So it shows me, stick my hand in there, come out. Smells like chicken.
Oh, jeez.
No,
I can see you do that.
You know, yeah. Just like all the spirits, you know, they had nothing to say. So.
Mm-hmm. In the chat room, CC wrote, why can't a ghost be in 14 places at once?
No reason it can't.
See, I can't get my head around stuff like that.
Why? Believe in God. If you believe in God, then God could be everywhere. So why?
I know. That's where
spirit
it started.
Spirit, right?
That's where. I mean, yeah, you can be 10 places at once. I just it's still not. It doesn't sit in.
I get it. It's because we think of it on our own physical plane versus a spiritual plane. So
yeah. Well, then Donna answered, and she said, because there's only 13 ghosts.
Yeah, that's true. True story.
Yeah.
I remember going to see the original 13 ghosts with the little glasses they had to use to see the ghosts.
Yeah.
You put them on, he looked in one way, I think through the red one, you saw the ghost. And if you looked the other way, then the ghost disappeared. So, yeah, that was 25 cents it was to go see that. It was
fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, I mean, I've and then a few years ago, I guess they were using, you know, when you went to rent movies, they gave you what do you call them, those glasses too, and so you could do that.
But you know, like you was talking about with walls and everything else, yeah, the ghosts just don't like hang around everywhere. Sometimes we see a creepy house and we say, oh, it must be haunted because it looks creepy. But, you know, it's like nobody's there. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, when Maureen and I went to sub with our publisher for our books, by the way, which is Ghost Chronicles, more Ghost Chronicles and Ghost Today, we went to see a cemetery for a particular reason. It's a long story, which I won't get into. But while we were there, we had a police escort, and the police said, well, you're here. Can you look at a couple graves for us? So they took us across the other side of the cemetery, and we went to two graves. And then Maureen, I can't pick up anything here. It's just, you know, it's quiet. There's really nothing here. And then she went to the next one that they wanted to, and they picked up all in this other policeman who was murdered in the line of duty. All the stuff there was in it, so it was pretty good. She was so impressed him so much that before we left, they came over and asked us to work on a case with them that they were trying to find some information on. So.
Wow.
Yeah, it ended up interesting. So it's an amazing feel, absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and everybody's doing it, and we know for a fact, well, I think we know for a fact that we're never going to really get the answers we're looking for, but we still go after it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but people go after it for different reasons. I mean, that's the popularity of a lot of the ghosts is that, you know, they want notoriety. That's what they do it for. You know, they do two channels and they're running their own events and everything else. That's the first thing to do is get shirts and, you know, start a channel, and then they're up there all the way. So, you know, everybody wants, not everybody, there's a good portion that do it for that reason. There are other portion for people who go to public events as well as ghost hunters that just do it for the scare factor. You know, think it's scary and they just want to do that. And then you have the other people who actually want to help people. They think that they can go and they can help either the ghost or the clients, I guess. I hate using that word, but the clients. And then you have other people that sort of very, 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 very small amount actually researches, and they do it for research reasons more than any of the other ones. But yeah, there's a variety of reasons people do why ghost hunting is so popular.
Yeah, I just like the ones that say, I'm going to get rid of the ghost, I'm going to send it back over to the other side.
And there you go.
They do it. And then, you know, I was on investigation like that, and the guy said, it's a little girl, and go back to your mother, your parents are waiting for you, blah blah, you know. It was so dramatic, and I'm standing, and they had the all the different things to see if ghosts are here or there or whatever.
Yeah,
instruments and the tools of the trade, and yeah. I'm standing there and I'm watching and I'm giggling to myself, and you know, I didn't want to make a big scene or anything, but I was going to say, what, are you an idiot? You know, I mean, they can come back anytime you want. Why are you trying to be a hero? You know, you're going to save a little ghost girl from her parents. You know, go ahead.
And you know, they want to believe in that stuff too. So the investigation, and we went in, and the people wanted to believe. And so much. I mean, like we had taken this digital picture and it from a room with a fluorescent light, and you could see the photo there. I said, no, I said, we're telling them it's the fluorescent light, but no, they were sure. And we really didn't find that much material there, or evidence there that anything was going on. So we did get a call back. About a month later or something, they said, though, they brought this medium in, and she came out and she said there were seven ghosts in the house and 400 revolutionary soldiers, and she sent them all to the light. So there you go. So it's, you know, that's the part of that amazes me. It's like, okay, this 400 revolutionary soldiers has been there for, what, 200-300 years, and you just say, oh, this light, oh, damn, we never saw it there. Thanks a lot. So all 400 of them just scoot away. So,
it's called
go.
ego. Ego. Yeah, really bad ego. Well, no, it's, yeah.
To each their own.
Well, yeah, you get it, but it's just.
If the home, you know, the homeowners were happy, then that'd be good for them, you know.
Yeah, you know, the problem is there's so many people that shouldn't be doing it and taking money from people that need it. So, you know, what
I shouldn't be taking money anyways, but that's another
story. Well, yeah, that goes along with it, too. All right, we've got like a minute or two. Where can people find you? All over the place.
Why? What do they want?
Money. Money.
Yeah, you can reach me on Facebook, Ronald, R-O-N-A-L-D, Kolak, K-O-L-A-K on Facebook. That's my general page, personal page, everyday page. Then I have all the radio shows, Ghost Chronicles, Next Generation, Ghost Chronicles International, Ghost Chronicles Morning Edition. You can reach me there. You can find my website, which is neghostproject.com. The letter E, like New England, neghostproject.com. So if you want to email, it's neghostproject@comcast.net. So there you go.
You're all over the place. And you have Patreon going on too? If people
want. For the radio shows. That's like, yeah, I hate selling stuff. So it's there. It's like $3 a month. You can join. You don't have to join for life. You can join for whatever you, how long you want, and leave. But there's over, I think, 60 videos and stuff on there exclusive to the most of them exclusive to the Patreon subscribers. So if you're really into that stuff, then knock yourself out. But that's Ghost Patreon.
All right, and I'm not sure what we're going to talk about, maybe, but you're going to do one of our master classes in the next few months, right?
Yeah.
Oh, how they forget. How soon they forget.
You know, talk about psychometry. I do the in class, in other words, in-person classes, but I also, during the pandemic, I did a Zoom class on photopsychometry. Is absolutely a blast, and the class was absolutely great. They were so good by the time it was there. You go.
All right, well, we are gonna
photopsychometry.
Say what
maybe I'll do it on photopsychometry in your master class.
It's a good class and you're a good teacher, so that'll be good. All right, thank you. I know that you're a little in pain a little bit today. So anybody in the chat room, just send him a little healing. It won't kill him.
No, give me a break. Yeah. I'll be all right.
You will.
There's a lot of people worse off than I am, so don't worry about it.
I know, but a little bit, you know, a little bit doesn't hurt. All right, and everybody, thank you for listening in again. And until next time, blessed be, and merry meet again. Good night.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. Please join us again next week at the same time for another great guest and more cauldron stirring. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without explicit permission is strictly prohibited. Copyright 2024. The Mysterioso March by Kevin MacLeod is licensed through Incompetech.com.